You're listening to the Women's Hope Podcast of the Masters University with Dr. Shelby Cullen and Kimberly Cummings. Join them as they bring hope and encouragement through 25 years of combined experience in biblical discipleship and counseling as ACBC counselors. Shelby and Kimberly provide biblical and practical wisdom by coming alongside women with the teaching and resources necessary to grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast. I am Kimberly, and sadly, Shelby is not able to be with us today, but I am glad that you, our listeners, are joining us. Ladies, we are super close to finishing up our series on teaching what is good, and it has been such a blessed time as Shelby and I have prepared the topics, as we have prepared the discussions, and we get to live them out in our own lives before our Lord and before our families and our churches and the watching world. So it's been a really sweet series. So be sure to catch up if you haven't already, because we will be right back in it soon. But today we are taking a break from our series to spend some time with a very dear sister in Christ, Erin Coates. Erin, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's a joy to be here. You and Shelby have really blessed me in just taking up the torch of discipling women and wanting to be faithful to the Word of God. So it's such a joy to be here.
Well, you are being prayed for on this side of the border, and we love you. And I do have another exciting announcement. Erin, before we get to the nuts and bolts of our discussion, I wanted to let the listening audience know that Shelby and I will have the privilege of joining you in an online conference July 12th through the 16th. And it's the Open Hearts in a Closed World Conference. And I'm just humbled to even be a part of it. We're going to have Martha Peace and Susan Heck, you and some others. And so I just feel like this is like a dream team of women speakers to get to encourage and edify women. And how in the world I ever ended up in that, I don't know, but I'm really excited. Be sure to...
I feel the same way.
It's like when Brooke Bartz contacts you, know it's something big.
Yeah. It's I feel the same way. And just Brooke's heart to want to get solid teaching to women. And, you know, we've seen, or I've seen over the last year, just the effect of that on women and even them starting really solid women's ministries within their own churches. So the fruit of the first year of the conference was already just a massive blessing. So to be able to be there with you all to do it again is very exciting.
Praise God. Well, the conference is called Open Hearts in a Closed World. And you can get all the details of the conference via Instagram and Facebook, and it's at Open Hearts in a Closed World. Ladies, this conference really is the cream of the crop when it comes to speakers for Christian women. There will be no fluff. There will be no rot. It will just be biblical teaching by ordinary women who love Jesus and love God's Word. Also, it's going to be streamed on American Gospel TV as well as YouTube. Brooke Bartz is the conference coordinator, and she really has a love for God and His people, and it shows in how she is putting this conference together. We'll be joined by City of Light, so that's pretty awesome. I'm really excited about that. So be sure to check it out and be sure to join us in July. So, Erin, thank you for joining us today. I know that your role as a wife and a mom has really looked different in the recent weeks. So I truly, truly appreciate your willingness to be with us here on Women's Hope. We have really been in the trenches praying for you. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So most of our listeners are aware. If you aren't, I'm not sure what cave you may be hiding in, but Aaron's husband is James Coates, and he is the pastor of Grace Life Church in Alberta, Canada. James was imprisoned on February 14th for the violation of what was considered health department restrictions. Our listeners can really find all of the details and the specifics by following Erin on Instagram at erincoates80. She gives reports that come straight from James, and I found that to be the most helpful. And also the elders, if you go to their website, post updates as well. So today, we want to focus specifically on how we will, as women of God, respond when the hard times come. Erin, as we have observed you on various shows, we have watched you become increasingly stronger and bolder for the gospel in Christ Church. I watched the very first interview that came out, and I was right there with you. It was just like that little emoji that's all teary-eyed. That's what I saw. But now as you continue to be interviewed, not that there is anything wrong with that, but as you continue to be interviewed, you are just getting stronger and bolder. So there are women that are with us today, listening, no doubt, some even pastors' wives, thinking to themselves, how would I withstand such a trial? 2 Timothy 3 promises us that difficult times will come in the forms of persecution and suffering. And in that passage, we're exhorted to continue in the things that we have learned and are convinced of. And we're studying Acts right now in our equipping hour at church, and we were in Acts 14 yesterday. And that was where Paul is still on his first missionary journey, and he's visiting the churches in cities where he's just been stoned. And verse 22 tells us that Paul was strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And he said, "It is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God." Paul was preparing the followers of Christ that difficulty was inevitable. And as we looked at this passage, all I could think about was you two. All I could think about was you and James. So, Erin, I want you to share with our listeners how the Lord has prepared you, just as Paul prepared the church, the early church, for such a moment where you are just faithfully proclaiming the gospel in a very, very hard time.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a really long time for me to explain everything the Lord has done in my life, but I think it really truly begins with sitting under a sound expository ministry in which the word of God is being boldly and unapologetically proclaimed, that there's nothing in scripture that's being skipped over. So I would have to say the Lord has primarily prepared our hearts through to do this through preaching of the word and solid preaching of the word as we come under just the submission of God and what he has to say to us. So I think that's been invaluable in my life. I've been sitting under expository preaching live for about 15 years. John MacArthur was our pastor in seminary, and obviously we were listening to his ministry before that. And then I've been sitting under my husband's teaching ministry and our associate pastors and elders for 11 years. So I think the Lord primarily has prepared me through that in just a high view of him. A desire to know his word from beginning to end. And I think just the various trials he's brought me through in my life. I remember back in seminary, about halfway through, we ran out of money. There was a circumstance that came into our life and the Lord stripped us of all of our finances. And we just went before the Lord and said, you know, we don't believe it's God's desire for us to go thousands and thousands of dollars into debt. And so we thought if we're going to stay, we just have to trust that he's going to provide for us in this season. And we were about $1,000 short every month. And every month we saw the Lord provide for us in the most miraculous ways. It was amazing. And even the birth of our youngest son was completely paid for. So that just the trials in my life through, you know, various issues that we've lived through in the life of a church. And I have a lot of health issues. So that has really thrust me to have to trust in the Lord with this frail body that I have and the pain that I experience and a lot of things that have gone undiagnosed over the years, finally to be diagnosed. So just if you look at my life, just the little everyday trials, the means of grace he has used to prepare me, the body that he's given us at Grace Life Church. There's just so many things that he's done. Our women's ministry is significant as we're writing our own content now and having to dig really deeply into scripture. But really, it's just the word of God and the love of church history that he's given us and to be faithful to his word alone. So I think with all of that together, those are just the things, the normal, ordinary, everyday means of grace that he puts in our life is what he's used to prepare us for this.
Mm. You know, I love how you mentioned your seminary experience. Because I am praying that seminary wives are listening to this, and the financial side of seminary is a big factor when you come to Southern California, one of the most expensive places in the United States to live. And so you move out on trust, right? And mm-hmm. I love just that practical side of the experiential side of living out God's word. And trusting that what he says is true. And you've done it in the past and you're doing it now. And I just am so thankful for your faithful, faithful example. One of the things that you have mentioned over and over is ecclesiology. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you want people to understand with this stance that you have taken is that God's people need to have a better understanding of what the church is and who the church is and how the church works. And again, it comes straight from the Word of God. And the word ecclesiology is from Greek, and it's ecclesia, which refers to assembly or congregation. So when we speak of the Church of God, it's simply just a community of people who've been called out by God from their slavery to sin to salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. Ephesians 1:22 says that Christ is the head of the church. And it's the gospel that is the means that God uses to grow the church. And we see this in many ways in Scripture, and especially in Acts. Paul and Barnabas were proclaiming in chapter 13 good news to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles were glad, and they honored the word. And those that God had appointed for salvation believed. So, and it goes on to say that the word spread through the region. So we know that Christ is the one who builds his church and that the true church can never be defeated. It can never be destroyed because it is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. He's the redeemer. He's the head. He's the builder. He owns us. So while Christ is the builder, we have the blessing of being living stones. We get to take the gospel to the nations and promote and build his kingdom. And I love what MacArthur says. He says, it's an organic whole, the living manifestations of Jesus Christ that pulses with the eternal life of God. It is a living organism. And this is really important in how we relate to one another as we seek as a body to glorify God. And we do this by building up its members and their faith, preaching of the word, which you have already said has had the huge impact that it is supposed to have, regularly observing ordinances, developing biblical fellowship and one anothering, and proclaiming the gospel. And if you're unsure and want a more clear understanding of ecclesiology, go to John MacArthur's book, Biblical Doctrine, and there's about a 5 or 6 page section there on ecclesiology, and that's where I pulled some of this from, just to make sure I was looking at church properly, right? When you told us to look and learn, I did, Aaron. I wanted to make sure we were doing the right thing. And so I can pray properly for my leaders as they work through all of this. No doubt this has not been an easy thing to do this last year with COVID. In California, the restrictions have been hard enough, but as I studied the restrictions that you've been placed under by your health department, I really felt like California was somewhat of a Disneyland compared to our brothers and sisters in Canada. So, Aaron, what do you have to say about this particular issue that you have been placed under by the health department to the watching world who doesn't maybe understand what's being asked of you?
Well, I think it makes me sad because they just don't understand what a true healthy body is. And to ask us to do that for a year now, we've had 2 extreme lockdowns with a little more freedom in the summer, mm-hmm. but still we were very restricted, like masks, social distancing, all of that. It's just very unhealthy for the body. She is a living organism that needs each other to live the Christian life and to live the Christian life faithfully. But what they're fundamentally asking us to do is not worship Christ freely. Mm. That there are restrictions on that, both in the gathering and in your home. And so it just puts the Church of Christ in a very dangerous position for the enemy to work and to seek, kill, and destroy. So I think that it just makes me sad that people are so quick to say, why don't you just live stream or why don't you just live by these rules? And, you know, Canada is so caught up in critical race theory, and our premier has already commented on James's preaching was irresponsible to preach what he called a libertarian sermon, what we'll call a faithful exposition of Romans 13. During a pandemic. So that next step for our government to say, you know, I really think you're irresponsible on teaching on matters of marriage and gender and sexuality in this current climate. This really sets precedent for our government to be able to restrict us on whatever matter they deem to be dangerous to the health and welfare of Albertans. And as you see the godless ideologies ripping through our society, it's not long before the government will start dictating what our men can be preaching from their pulpits. And so I think people need to just kind of see the bigger picture at hand, that this isn't about a virus. This is setting precedent for our government to be able to tell us what we can and can't do as the people of God as we gather and worship Him.
Mm. One of the things that has really concerned us is people that maybe really haven't missed church while they've been live streaming. So what would you have to say to those that maybe aren't missing body life, as we talked about earlier this past year, or really don't see this aspect as maybe that big of a deal?
I probably want to give 2 warnings. If you are not missing the gathering, it is utterly impossible for you to be a faithful Christian and living on your own. When you look at the beautiful illustrations that God has put in scripture of the church, we are a body, and that body has various moving parts that we are to be together for the building up of the body of Christ and for mutual edification and to come together as the ones who are called out to give testimony to the glory of Christ, and that we are the blood-bought people mm-hmm. of Christ. And when we come together, we're telling the world, this God is worthy to be worshiped. He is a real God. He has resurrected a real people. They're a family. They are his body. And so when you just look at the beautiful imagery that the Lord has put in scripture of his church, to try to do that independently and not miss the gathering tells me, if you're not asleep, you are very close to falling asleep. And that's one of the dangers of falling asleep. And we see that in Thessalonians as the day of the Lord draws near, that Paul says to them not to sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Mm-hmm. And the thing with being lukewarm and sleeping is that you just don't know that you've gotten there. And I use the illustration of a young girl who came to our church who hadn't been to church in 11 months. And she came and she sat there and she just wept because she hadn't realized how cold her heart had become. She didn't realize how much she had missed the gathering, because over time, just that hardening of her heart happened. And when you don't have people regularly speaking into your life, you're not being challenged to grow in Christ. And I always use two illustrations of, you know, if you have a lamb or a sheep that has been separated from the flock, they are the ones who are going to be attacked by the enemy. Or a spark that flies out of the fire. The embers aren't there to burn together to keep the fire going. And once you have a spark that falls out of the fire, it will eventually die out. So that would be my first warning. It is you should go back to church and just see the effect on your life of not being in the gathering, because if you're not asleep, you are in danger. You're on the ledge of falling asleep and falling over. So take heed to that in your Christian life. And then my second warning to that would be, if you don't miss the gathering, is maybe you just don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has given his spirit to a people. Again, the imagery of the body, the imagery of the family. And if your heart just can take or leave the gathering, maybe it's because you don't know him. And I would just ask you to evaluate your heart before the Lord and really see, are you in Christ? Because those who are in Christ love his people. And it's not, you can't take or leave the body. We're not only to desire to be with her, but it's a necessity in our life. So if you're not seeing that necessity, I would really encourage you just to evaluate your heart before him. Do you know him? Do you understand that he is the second person of the Trinity, that he left eternal glory, that he put on human flesh, was born of a virgin, was born under the law, kept the law perfectly in thought, word, and deed, something that you and I couldn't do, and went to the cross. Not only did he receive an unjust trial and was beaten and was marred beyond anyone in human history, but when he hung upon the cross, he hung in the place of his people as he received the full fury of the wrath of God. And then he atoned for sin. He was the propitiation for sin. And we know that he satisfied God's wrath on behalf of his people, because he was resurrected on the third day. And now he calls you to believe in him, to trust in his sacrifice by grace alone, through faith alone, and him alone. So I would really just ask you to evaluate your heart. Is that what you believe? And if it's not, I would call you to believe in him alone and to look to Christ and live. So those would be my two warnings. Would don't be asleep, and evaluate your heart. Do you know him? Mm-hmm. Because if you know him, you will long to be with his people.
Well, and you mentioned sleeping, and Ephesians 5 quotes the Old Testament and says, "Awake, O sleeper." And it's right in the middle of a passage that's just speaking about the heinous sins that we can easily get involved in. Immorality, impurity, covetousness, you know, greed. And so it just breaks my heart, because this is hurting Christ's bride. And, you know, we were sick with COVID for quite a bit. We got pretty sick. And we were out of church for 3 Sundays. And when my husband got back in the pulpit, I just sobbed because, and when we were singing together, because I missed that so much. And so I know that there are those that are hurting because of this extremely difficult lockdown. Can you encourage those that are hurting?
Yeah, I would encourage you to find a church that's open. And if that's just not a possibility for you right now, just to be get under a sound expository ministry, and as much as you can, be connecting with women who are going to challenge you in your faith in the Lord. But I would just say, try to find a church that's open. It's absolutely heartbreaking to me, the messages that I'm getting from women, that they are hurting, that they're starving for fellowship. On my Instagram page, I noticed a comment that a woman made that she hadn't been in the gathering in 11 months. And she had commented that she didn't even realize she had put down the sword that she had. And through this whole situation, it brought her back to the gathering. So I just want to encourage women that if you can get to church, get to church. This is really a spiritual life and death situation. We have a real enemy who has a real hatred, and a real hatred for your soul, a real hatred for the local church, a real hatred for the universal church. And I think that's just something that we have to be aware of. And so to encourage women, I hope and pray that you can just research sound ecclesiology, the one another's, the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and just encourage them that way to keep praying, keep being in the Word. If you're in Canada, contact your local MLAs, contact your pastors, let them know that how this has hurt you, has stunted your growth. And just be faithful. Just seek until everything kind of falls in place for you. Just seek to be faithful to Christ. That's all I can kind of give by way of encouragement.
Erin, I really appreciate that. And again, you're really pointing us to the gospel first and foremost, because that is the only thing that awakens asleep people. And a dead people, right, being brought back to life. And so I appreciate that so much. I want to talk a little bit about the next generation. As I have said over and over, Women's Hope is, you know, all about getting women to disciple other women. That's what we're constantly encouraging. And right now we're even teaching on Titus 2, helping women to understand what their role is within the body of Christ as they grow and as they mature. This is important to us. So Erin, can you share with us some practical ways that we can prepare the next generation, whether it's our children or through the Titus 2 model, to be prepared to stand and even willing to suffer for the gospel?
Yeah, again, I say this all the time. The greatest effect on your children's life is going to be being in a sound church under sound expository preaching. I know I sound like a broken record, but that is going to be one of the most impactful things in preparing your children. I always say, you know, my kids have sat under their dad's ministry for 11 years, and they've not only seen his preaching ministry, but they've also seen him live out the preaching. And I think that is a significant thing, is that we're not only hearers of the word who delude themselves, but we're doers of the word. And as we hear the word on Sunday, we're seeking during the week to put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. And so we're living the word. I think that really impacts your children. You're doing life with them, and so they're seeing you live what you believe. So I think that's massive, that as you love your children, you're really seeking to walk within your house with integrity and to live faithfully the Christian life. When you've sinned against them or you've sinned against your husband, confess that. Let your children see your need for Christ, because as they see your need for Christ in the gospel on a daily basis, they'll see their need more. And I think just being faithful to train them in church history, faithful to train them with missionary biographies. Obviously, you're reading scripture, you're teaching them to pray, you're teaching them the disciplines of scripture memorization. But it's all really just the ordinary means of grace that God has put in our lives, and really shepherding our child's hearts with the word of God and teaching them the gospel, that they're sinners and how to handle situations when they come up. And you can't really teach your kids how to be prepared for something like this, or teach your children how to shepherd their heart if you don't know how to shepherd your own heart. And so really just having integrity and applying the word of God to your life. And as a woman, as a biblical woman, being faithful to live out Titus 2 and being a woman who fears the Lord, has character, seeking to live her home life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, and loving your husband, loving your children, seeking to live with purity of mind and purity of doctrine. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's just the ordinary means of grace and living your life before your kids and teaching them faithfully the providence of God throughout scripture and throughout history, I would say are the biggest things in teaching the next generation. And just be honest with them about your own heart before the Lord. Now, obviously you don't want to share with them all of your struggles and unload on your kids, but if you're angry and your kids are seeing that, be honest with them. You know, sweetie, I have sinned against the Lord and I have sinned against you. I have been walking in my flesh and I have confessed that sin to the Lord, and I'm seeking to put on kindness. And let them see that you need the help of the Holy Spirit to live moment by moment, because they see all your ugliness. But if you're faithful to show them how much you need Christ and how much you need the gospel and how much you need the Spirit on a daily basis, all of those things are preparing their hearts. Even with this trial, I've had to be so careful that I'm showing my children a gentle and quiet spirit, that what the Lord has foreordained before the foundation of the world, I have to accept that without having a tumultuous heart, without complaining against the Lord, but just seeking to show them God's character, who He is, what He's doing in this. And I haven't done it perfectly either. I had a moment where I snapped at one of my children for something. I thought, oh, this is not good. Okay, I have to confess that. And just where I had a moment of weakness and didn't respond to something rightly. So all of those moments, I believe, really prepare our kids to live faithfully for Christ. Because I think if you're not living faithfully in the everyday moments of life, it's going to be really hard for you to be prepared for the bigger things that the Lord has for you.
Right, right. That is so good. There's a quote by Owen Strachan that really goes along with what you're saying. It says, "The local church is not the B team, but it is ground zero for kingdom work." And then he exhorts us and he says, "Join it, serve it, love it, and experience the satisfaction that comes with involvement in the gospel cause that transcends all others." And I just really like that you are pointing our women to understand that it begins in our home. But also you have pointed out that we're doing that also with other women through various ministries that we are given within the body. So thank you for that, Erin. And I have one more question for you. The means of grace within the local body has really taken a blow this past year. We know this doesn't affect our justification. It is a means of blessing and growth in the life of a believer, and it's a part of our sanctification. I like what Charles Hodge says. He says, sanctification by nature is not just holy or righteous acts. It is a change in the state of the soul, that sinful acts become more infrequent and holy acts become more habitual and controlling. And you mentioned some putting off and putting on in your last answer. I really appreciated that. We aren't just taking fruit and stapling it on a tree, but instead the branch is rooted into the vine and grows out of our union with Christ. The sanctification process is cooperative. So, Aaron, can you give examples of where you have seen the spiritual growth of believers harmed rather than helped by the government's greater concern over one's physical health over their spiritual health? And then close us with a word of encouragement to our listeners, how we are to walk wisely in these evil days.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it in our own church in the first lockdown, just the effects of that. And I can use my own life. I was separated. I was able to be at the church and hear James preach, but we weren't allowed anybody in the building except for our sound and our music and James and a few other people here and there that were making everything happen. And I had been separated from the body, I think, for maybe a month. And I just remember walking into my friend's house. It was her 40th birthday, and seeing the women that I do life with and just weeping. And I mean, during this time, we're on live stream. We're doing live stream. We're doing women's ministry via Zoom. So it's not like I'm not talking to people. I'm talking to people. But to actually see them physically, I just walked in the door and I wept because my heart was so starving and I needed to be with them. And that was the effect on our own church, was that she was, she just kind of went into a state of depression almost, of just mourning and longing to be with one another. But I'm receiving messages from women that are just devastating to me. I heard of a story of a young mom falling into a drug addiction, and her son falling away from the Lord. They were active in the church. The lockdowns happened. They fell away. Thankfully, now they are back in the church through the whole situation of what's been happening in Canada. But you leave people in a very vulnerable place. And as much as people want to say that, you know, God is everywhere, you can worship Him from home. You know, you can live stream, you don't need a building. Well, it's like, well, the family isn't a home, but you need a home to house her, especially when it's minus 45 in the wintertime in Alberta. She needs a building to be in. But there's a necessity that I think that this culture really, really lacks in just the individualistic, way of life that people do life. It's just so individual. It's very me-centered. So I think that's just how devastating. I get messages all the time, just different stories. And it's so sad, of people just hungry for fellowship, or their pastors haven't contacted them, or they're pleading with their pastors to open. That has been really devastating for me to watch. Absolutely. Now you said encouragement on how to walk wisely. I think it would just be, everything that I've said, just really seek to, be under a faithful preaching ministry, be in a local church that is not perfect, but is really seeking to love Christ and grow with her. Be faithful to read the word, to pray, to put off sin, to be involved in one another's lives. And Kim, you had mentioned pastors' wives at the beginning of this. And I really have a heart for pastors' wives, because I know I did a study about 2 years ago in regards to pastors' wives, that what was their life like in their local church. And I really just want to encourage pastors' wives to, you know, not wear the pastor's wife hat, but really seek to be a part of your local congregation, be a member of your church, be faithful to run with the women in your church. Because I know there's a lot of pastor's wives who are hurting during this time. And maybe their involvement in their local church has never being that great, because as a pastor's wife, you experience different things in ministry and that tends to have a pulling back effect. But really just to encourage pastor's wives to get into the lives of their people and to share your life with people. I think that will have a huge impact in walking faithfully as a pastor's wife. But besides that, just being faithful in your everyday to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to bring things into your life that you are going to have to submit to. And doesn't mean that things are not hard. This is a very difficult situation we're going through. This is hard on our family. It's hard on our church. It's hard on the universal church. So this is very difficult to walk through, but I'm so thankful we serve a sovereign God, and knowing his character is so important. We have to know and have a high view of God.
Amen. Well, those are all the questions that I have for you this morning, Aaron. But to our listeners, I just want to plead with you to obey God's command in Hebrews 13:3 that says, remember the prisoners and be as though you are in prison with them and also with those who are badly treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. And I also want to close with this final quote from Spurgeon. He said, God's people have their trials. It was never designed by God when he chose his people that they should be an untried people. They are chosen in the furnace of affliction. They were never chosen to worldly peace and earthly joy. Trials are a part of our lot. They were predestined for us in Christ's last legacy. So surely as the stars are fashioned by his hands and their orbits fixed by him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. He has ordained their season and their place, their intensity and their effect. They shall be upon us. Good men have never expected to escape troubles. But although tribulation is thus the path of God's children, they have the comfort of knowing that their master has traversed it before them. They have his presence and sympathy to cheer them, his grace to support them, and his example to teach them how to endure. And when they reach the kingdom, it will more than make amends for the much tribulation through which they have passed to enter it. Listeners, Aaron, be encouraged. The God who has chosen us not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his name's sake, has run this race of suffering, and the outcome is glorious.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's beautiful. I just want to hear well done. I just want Amen. To behold his face and know that I've been faithful, imperfectly faithful, but the trajectory of my life, I'm just so blown away that God would ever save a woman like me, and then to put me into service, and then to know that my darkest moments are ordained to have me experience him more fully, the presence of God and just what, you know, seeing what he did for me. Anything on this earth is better than what I deserve, which is an eternity in hell. And I can't even believe the Lord's kindness towards me, even through all of this. He's so kind. He is so good. And then to know that we'll be rewarded is just absolutely mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, Aaron, thank you. Thank you so much for just being the light that God created you to be. And I can say with so many other women, as we are watching you go through this, that we are so excited to say, this is my sister, and her love for Jesus is unmistakable. So know that the south of the border here in America, we are cheering you on, and we are doing that through prayers. I am telling women to watch you so that they will see the beauty of a suffering saint. So, Erin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for all of your prayers, all of your listeners that are praying for us. I don't take those for granted. I need them. I know the Lord uses means to carry us through on earth. And it's the thousands of prayers that people are praying for us that's giving us strength and helping us have clarity and resolve in this. So my thanks to everybody who has been so faithfully to carry this burden for our family and for our church. I can't wait to see you all in eternity if I don't see you this side of heaven, and be worshiping our King together forever and ever and ever.
Well, Erin, you have portrayed the title of our podcast perfectly, Women's Hope, because you have pointed each and every woman to your Savior and to the gospel, which is our only hope. So thank you, Erin, so much. Thanks for joining us. We love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
And thank you, listeners, for listening today. We pray that you are challenged, that you are encouraged, and that you are emboldened to follow your Lord and Savior with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Hope podcast of the Masters University. For more resources and episodes, visit masters.edu/womenshope. For more information on the Masters University, visit masters.edu. We'll see you next time.